后面应该历史有。
Well, thank you for the privilege of coming again and here up to LJ and to join your fellowship. Just excited to drive up Sunday morning. It was a beautiful drive. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be focusing in on several verses 3 through 9. You do have an outline in your bulletin, and I always try to do something like that so you can follow along. That way, if you do fall asleep and you wake up, you just can find out where I am and join us. So that would be great. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And the question that I want to ask today is, are you praising God today? Are you praising God today for your salvation? Are you praising Him today? Every day? Any day at all? There's an old hymn that maybe you have sung before. It goes like this: count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. I think probably the most important blessing that God has provided is His salvation. It's offered to everyone. It's available to all. But isn't it easy to believe in God when life is going well? The fact of the matter is, if life was going well, your faith in God would never be tested. But when trials and tribulations come along, that is when you have to grab a hold of that faith. And the object of your faith is Jesus Christ and God the Father. And you have to hold on to that faith to determine if it's a genuine faith. If it's a genuine faith. Our faith in God seems to waver during those tough times. Has that happened to you? Our faith in God is under attack if you consider it's considered silly and ridiculous to atheists and agnostics. They believe that if God existed and He was truly a loving God, that nothing bad would happen to anyone. But once again, if you don't have trials or tribulations, you'll never be tested with your faith in God. Paul teaches us that faith in God and in His salvation, Peter teaches us that in faith in God and His salvation is the same faith. We don't compartmentalize our faith. That faith that we have in Jesus Christ, that someday that we'll be with Him in eternity, is the same faith that we have to exercise when we're in the tough times. It's not a different faith. It's the same faith. And in those tough times, we find out if indeed we have a genuine faith. So are you praising God for salvation today? That's the question we're going to answer. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice. So now for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Father God, what a gift You've given to us. Your salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that each and every soul in this auditorium has placed their faith and trust in You. Lord, if not, I ask that Your Spirit work in their heart and minds, and today is the day of their salvation, and they would turn over their life to You. Lord, these are Your words in Your book. Do with them what You'd like. We thank You for loving us. It's in Christ's name that we ask all these things, and thank You. Amen. We start off in verse 3. Right away we see that it begins with praise be. Interesting word in the original language. Praise there is where we get the word eulogy. Eulogy. And you know what a eulogy is? It's to speak well of someone. So Peter right away says, okay, we should speak well of. And so we start asking, well, who and why? Well, he says we should speak well of God. So immediately we see that we have the first person of the Trinity. We see God the Father, and He's working through and personally addressing us through Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to say that not only should we praise be to the God, but also Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we learn something about Jesus, first of all, that His Father is God, which is very significant. And because we say our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with Him. And because He has a relationship with the Father, what Peter is saying is, by the way, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you also have a relationship with God. Because after all, Jesus is God.
Amen.
Now after this introduction of who we should speak well of, Peter begins to explain why we should speak well of God. The subject is in verses 3 through 5, and that subject is our salvation. And there's four reasons that we should speak well of God. And the first one, it says, of His great mercy. His great mercy. Some translations talk about abundant mercy. This just means that it's more than what we can think. It's overflowing in capacity. But just don't gloss over this word here, because see, everything that God gives us starts with mercy. See, mercy comes before all other gifts and all other blessings that God gives to us. See, mercy is not giving to us, or us not getting what we deserve. It's the ultimate blessing, God's mercy. See, before we get or receive anything from God, that we do not deserve anything, but we get mercy. See, mercy is not receiving what we deserve, and what we deserve is death, separation from God. But because of His mercy, He also gives us grace. And grace is receiving something that we do not deserve, and that's salvation. You remember the story in Genesis 2:16. Jesus says the day, and He's talking to Adam, and He says, the day that you eat of it, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, remember what He said? You will surely die. Now, whenever you read about death and dying in Scripture, it just simply means separation from God. Separation from God. See, they were disobedient to God. And the Bible calls that sin. So whenever we're disobedient to God, we sin and we die spiritually and we're separated from God. Romans 3:23 tells us that all of us have sinned and we have fallen short of God's glory, God's standard. Everyone is separated from God. And because we're separated from God, we are objects of His wrath. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking to Christians who have given their lives over to Jesus Christ, who believe in Jesus. And he's talking about the past, and he says, all of us once lived gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So what we want now and what we desire in the future is always against what God wants for us now and what God desires for the future. So as objects of wrath, we deserve separation. We deserve death. But because of His great mercy, God does not give us what we deserve. Instead, the text says He's given us a new birth. Now, because we are separated from God, we're objects of wrath by nature, His mercy and grace provides us this new birth. You remember the story in John 3. In John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And he came at night. And so he comes and Jesus starts to talk to him and he says this, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. In the original language, that means born from above. We are born from above. So notice that this salvation that's from above comes from above. We have nothing to do with it. It's a gift. That's why Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace, that's giving us something we don't deserve, we are saved. By grace we are saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Now let's just say this is the cross. And this is God right here. You're going to have to use your imagination. Okay? Well, God has mercy and He's not giving us what we deserve, but He loves us and He has grace. So He sends His Son to die on the cross. Now, we're separated from God over here. We're separated. We don't have a relationship. But see, because of grace, and mercy, sending Him to the cross because He loved us, we have faith in what Jesus did on the cross. So by grace, through faith, we are saved by what Jesus did on the cross. That's interesting. In Romans 4, we're going to be turning there in just a moment, but Romans 4, 18 through 25, verse 25 says this, and I'll go ahead and read it to you. But see, a perfect God requires a perfect sacrifice. We can't do anything. All of our works are like what? Filthy rags. Mm-hmm. So He has to have a perfect sacrifice. Verse 25 in Romans 4 says this, He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You see what happened on that cross? There's an exchange. Jesus Christ took the wrath that was for me, for you. And so He took that wrath and in exchange He gave me His righteousness just by faith, just by reaching out and believing. The second item here is this new birth, if you look, brings us into a living hope. And the reason the hope is living is because Jesus died and was buried and He was resurrected and became our justification. So it's a living hope. So because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and our belief, our faith in that act, we have the third element, and that is an inheritance. Now, where is this inheritance? This inheritance is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And it says that it should never perish, meaning it should never be destroyed. It should never spoil, like defiled. It should never fade, meaning it should never age. I know you've seen these on TV, these kitchen sealers. You know, you put the food in the bag and you seal it. It's hermetically sealed. And then you have the Ziploc bags if you don't want to spend all that money on there. You know, the other ones I laugh at is you get this bag and you put all the clothes in that you only wear twice a year. You know, yeah. You suck all the air out of it and it goes down here, and then you put it in the garage or somewhere until you want to wear that outfit. Do those really work? For a little time. Not for eternity. Not for eternity. They do work for a little while, but sometimes if you get an air hole in there, it spoils, fades, it's defiled. Never for a long time. But point number four is our salvation is kept in heaven. That term kept there means, it's a military term, and it means that you go around and you are garrisoned. There's an army garrisoning that what we have. Our inheritance, our salvation. But what's neat about that is not only is there an army, but God's power, look at the text, God's power is protecting or shielding our salvation. Now, how important is our faith and our belief that God's protecting our salvation? John 10, 28 through 30 says that He has us in the palm of His hand, and there's no power, because nobody's more powerful than God, that can take that salvation away, that we come out of that hand. Now, do you believe in that? Okay, if you believe in that the same faith that we place in God saving us, that you have for eternity, is the same faith that we believe is protecting our salvation. But then what it says in verse 6, it says, in this. Look at verse 6, it says, in this. Well, in what? Well, in our salvation, in Christ's resurrection, in our inheritance, in God's protection. All of that is that faith. And in this, you greatly rejoice. We should not just rejoice, but we should greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer. You know, it's interesting. James 1 says, oh, you should consider it pure joy. Now, people think that we should have pom-poms and we should say, oh, wow, I'm in a trial. Has nothing to do with that. Later on in James, it talks about that we should know. And in the Greek, that means that we have personal experience knowing that when we go through a trial, that God is maturing us. That there's a reason behind it. And that same faith that you have in your salvation, that same faith, is the same faith that we should say, okay, I know God is allowing this to happen. The trial that we have is like the gold that talks about here that is being refined. See, when you heat up gold, I know all your gold's in bars, But when you put it in a little heater and you heat it up, you know what happens with the impurities in it? They float to the top. And then you skim that off and you have pure gold. So it's like that with our trials. Our faith that we have in our salvation with Jesus Christ, we have to hold on to that same faith, because when it occurs, we say, okay, the infirmities are coming out. I'm becoming more mature in Christ. It's interesting. John 9:3 talks about that the work of God can be displayed in his life. See, there was a blind man, and the disciples were walking past, and they saw this blind man who had been blind from birth, and they didn't want to sin like this blind man. So they said, Jesus, did he sin, or is his parents sin? And Jesus said, neither. He's like that so that his life can display and honor God. Did you get that? See, his life, and I don't know how, but his actions could display faith in God. And that would honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Paul cried out and said, change me, take this thorn from me? And what did God say? What did Jesus say? My grace is sufficient, because you can display me in your life during this trial. What about Job? I love that story. It was horrific. But you know, Job never knew why he was going through that. You can search that book all you want. He never knew that God said to the devil, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And everything he lost, he said, even though he slays me, even though he kills me, even though he takes my life, I'm still going to trust him. Because see, his salvation, the faith that he had for his salvation, he was holding on to. So no matter what happened in his life, he knew his salvation was through Jesus Christ. And he wasn't going to let that go, no matter what happened. I want you to turn to Romans 5 now, because we're going to look at the father of our faith, and that's Abraham. Abraham. We're going to start in verse 16. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to show you that the same principle applies. We see in verse 16 in Romans chapter 4 that the promise comes by faith. What's the promise? Salvation. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. So, see, what happens is this guarantee is through faith. Verse 18, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. Now, I know we could go around this room and I could say to you, have you ever gone through any trials or tribulations that you thought there was no hope? Maybe it's type 1 diabetes for 38 years. Taking shots and carrying around a pump. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's Alzheimer's. Maybe it's just old age. Maybe it's the death of a mother, father, loved one, child. But against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And you know what happened. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief. He grabbed a hold of that faith that he had for salvation, and he said, God's working with me. I know he's doing this. Is my faith genuine? Then verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what He had promised. That same power that God is protecting our salvation being kept in heaven, we believe that He's also giving it to us during the trial. He was fully persuaded. Then we go down to verse 24, but whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in Him. Faith in God for our salvation, also faith in God while you're going through that temptation. As we go back to 1 Peter in our text, we see a summary statement starting in verse 8. Now we have to remember that the goal of our faith is salvation, but the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. Because of what He has done, and what He's doing, and what He will do, that is what our faith is in. But the goal is salvation. So how does the goal of our faith manifest itself? And it's through trials. It becomes evident. What is the difference between Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, and those who are not? Our faith in Jesus Christ. But do we show a difference when we have trials come upon us in our life? Because when we don't show a difference, is our faith in Jesus Christ genuine? So we see in verse 8, it says, though you have not seen Him. I've not seen Jesus, have you? Now I know His works are manifest in these beautiful hills with the changing leaves and the sunset and the sunrise and the heavens declare His glory, but I've not seen Him. But even though we haven't seen Him, we love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, we believe in Him. And because we love Him and we believe in Him, we should have this inexpressible joy. That when we start to go through these trials, that salvation faith is still exercised in the trial faith. And we grab a hold of Him because He's never going to leave us or forsake us. So even though we don't see Him now, we do see Him in eternity. And when we have that joy, when we go through that trial, we see that we're receiving the goal of our faith. And that's the salvation of our soul. Now, it would be good just to read this and say that's just one thing that Peter talked about and went through. But I do want you to turn to Ephesians as we close. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 8. And here is Paul writing. And when I read this passage, I'm going to read through it. I'm going to inject what we've studied today in 1 Peter. And then I'll read it again without any interruption. And you'll see that we've already seen how Abraham follows that same path. He believed his goal was to have faith and salvation in God. And that through that trial, he held on to the promise that God has given him. And that same faith and salvation translated it into the trial, the temptation that he had. And he held on to it. Well, let's start in verse 4 in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, because of His great love for us, that's God, who is rich in mercy. not giving us what we deserve, but giving us what we don't deserve. He made us alive with Christ. He gave us a new birth from above. We've accepted it. And even when we were dead, we were separated, He still provided that gift. And it is by grace, giving us something that we don't deserve, that we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, where is Jesus Christ right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Why is He seated? Because He's done it all. It is finished. He's completed. And God the Father accepted that gift, accepted that perfect sacrifice, and now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And what Jesus and what God did was, He, when we accepted Him by faith, because of that work on the cross, He wrote our names in the Lamb Book of Life. And He took us up and He placed us in Jesus Christ because we were separated and now we're together. And the power of sin and the penalty of sin no longer affects us because we're placed in Jesus Christ. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm. Why? In order that in the coming ages, future tense, in the coming ages, He, God, might show the incomparable riches of His grace. You can't compare God's grace with anything. I don't care how good the green beans are in just a little bit. I don't care how good the potato salad or the meat is. You cannot compare God's grace with anything. It's incomparable. And it's expressed in His kindness to us in Jesus Christ. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? And see, that excitement about salvation must be kept when we're finding out if that faith that we have in salvation is genuine or not. Now, have we failed? God, why is this happening? It's okay to ask. I think it's okay to ask. There's many times we have examples in Scripture that it's okay to ask. But see, Job had the right idea. You know, I came naked into this world, wasn't holding on to anything, and I'm going to leave naked, not holding on to anything. You know, I had to do many funerals when I was associate pastor. And not one time has there ever been a U-Haul that went to the cemetery with us. Never. But it seems like during this life, when we have trials and tribulations, we just seem to grab like this and try to hold on to everything. And what God is saying is, hey, do you trust Me for your salvation? If you trust Me for your salvation, take that same faith that you exercise for salvation. And when a trial, tribulation comes upon you, I'm just finding out if it's genuine. Do you really trust Me? Do you really have faith in Me? Because if you do, we're going to walk through that fire together. Because I'm refining you. And when I do that, and you're walking through that, you can display how much you love Me, because God's taking you through that, just like the blind man. And then Jesus Christ, when He comes, will get honor and glory and praise because of the faith that you exercise, not only for your salvation, but the faith that you exercise during the trials and tribulation. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You, first of all, for that gift of salvation. Lord, we fail You many times, but Lord, You're always there. You're always beside of us. You've sent Your Holy Spirit that indwells us. And Lord, we can cry out to You, Abba, Father. And even though we may have many trials and tribulations, that we can honor You, we can have faith in You, we can cry out to You. We know that they're just momentary. They're light afflictions, according to Your word, because of the incomparable riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us that we may see the prize, which is a salvation for our soul. We may understand that without trials and tribulations, we would never know if we have genuine faith. Help us, Lord, that we will find Your presence. We will feel Your presence afresh and anew every day, every trial. And we will know that You're keeping our salvation, You're guarding it in heaven for it to be revealed that You're coming. Lord, what a Savior. What love. What mercy. What grace. Allow our faith to be strengthened daily through the trials and tribulations that You allow to happen. And we'll praise Your name forever. In Christ's name. Amen.